Jesus, and we come tonight to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In Matthew's Gospel, the same incident is recorded in chapter 9. It's the story of the forgiveness and the healing of the paralyzed man, the paralytic. A fundamental spiritual need of every human being is to receive forgiveness from God. All of us have that need, not just the bad people. For as we know, the Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I may sometimes think about the wickedness of the world and the appalling cruelty and the dreadful dictators that there are, the genocide that goes on, the killing of so many thousands of people. I was hearing just this past week of the Sudanese government just killing millions of people in the Nubian mountains in its own country because they're not the same religion as the Sudanese government. How terrible that is. And we may think, why doesn't God's judgment come? We're looking forward to the day of judgment when God puts all these things right. But then we think, well, what about me? I'm not perfect either. And although I'm not doing the things that Saddam Hussein and others do, yet, when the day of judgment comes, what about me? And then I think, well, my need, like everybody's need, is to be forgiven my sins. And as Bob McLean said in the first prayer, we forgive, we receive forgiveness as we forgive others. And we've said that in the Lord's Prayer. And that's another great need of the world, which is connected with forgiveness that we receive from God. It's to forgive one another. If I know that God has forgiven me the wrong that I did, then it enables me to forgive others the wrong that they have done me. And of course, if I refuse to forgive others who are sorry the wrong they have done me, then God cannot give me His forgiveness. I've blocked the way. Jesus taught us, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And He says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgiveness is our great spiritual need, the need of all the world. But there is a physical need as well, and that is for healing of the body. Now again, all of us have that need. You may be feeling very well this moment. You may have nothing wrong with you. As far as I know, I don't have anything seriously wrong with me. Well, I don't feel ill in any case at this moment as I stand before you. But none of us is going to stay well forever. These bodies don't last forever. We're not going to be healthy always. And so all of us have a need for physical healing as well. Psalm 103 expresses it, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now the greatest need is forgiveness. Why is that? Imagine a world where everyone was healthy, but nobody forgave anybody. A world where everyone was healthy, but everybody hated one another. What kind of world would that be? In this world, forgiveness can be complete. You can completely forgive someone who has wronged you. Or someone can completely forgive you the wrong you've done to him. And God can completely forgive you everything you have done in your life. Absolutely. That's the gospel through the cross of Jesus, God forgives you absolutely. There's no residue of a little sin that he hasn't forgiven. He can forgive all your sins, however bad they have been, however many they have been. Forgiveness in this world, on earth, is complete for all who look to Jesus. But healing is never complete in this world, the healing of the body. If it were, none of us would ever die. We'd live forever. We live forever in this sinful world, full of hatred and war. And we'd never be able to enter that which God had prepared for his people. And so healing can never be complete in this world. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, would die again one day. Even that was not complete healing in this world. However, from time to time, God does do dramatic healings in this world as a sign that his word and promise are true for us in eternity. It's more common in countries where the gospel has only just come, or areas of the world where people have never had the Bible before. It's God's way of witnessing that the Bible is true. I was reading just 2 weeks ago, did I mention this last week? I can't remember, of a man in India. Some missionaries went to an area of India, a very remote area where there was no electricity or water or roads, and when they got there they found the people already believing in Jesus, though no missionaries had gone there before them. How had those people come to believe in Jesus? Because there was a leper, a man with leprosy, in that village. This is just a year or so ago. And Christ had appeared to him in a dream and a vision. And he was healed of his leprosy. And he told his fellow villagers about it. And they became believers in Christ. My wife Ella and I were listening to a man talking about the spread of the gospel in the Muslim world, in the Arab world. The Arab world, the Muslim world, has been dead to the gospel for centuries. But just in the last few years, there have been amazing conversions to Christ in the Arab world. Not due to the work of missionaries, but due to God's supernatural intervention. People seeing visions of Christ. Now, we don't see that so much in our own land. We've had the Bible for longer. We don't have any excuse for not believing the Bible. Not really. So God from time to time gives great signs that his word is true and we can trust him. So now we turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. What was the word that Jesus was preaching? He was in this house, crowded with people in the room, all squashed together, and Jesus is preaching the word to them. What was it that he was saying? Well, what was the word that Jesus always preached at the beginning of his ministry? Well, we learn in Mark 1, the previous chapter, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. His preaching was very simply, the kingdom of God is drawing near to you. The prophecies of the Old Testament that were written hundreds of years before the time of Christ had said that one day the kingdom of God would come to Israel. And the Jews of Israel were looking for that day. It would be a day when the lost age would be restored, when the sick would be healed, when the dead would be raised, and where God would come in person. The Old Testament scriptures say, in that day of the Lord will come in person. He'll not just send great preachers and prophets, He will come in person to you. And the Old Testament prophets said you will recognize, you'll be able to recognize that day by various signs. There'll be the sign of forgiveness of sin. Sinners, unworthy, bad people will be forgiven in that day. For example, Jeremiah the prophet said, in that day no one will teach his neighbor or man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." They'll all know me, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And there was another sign as well. Well, there were several signs, but another sign was the healing of the body. So Isaiah 35 says, in that day when the Lord comes in person, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And the word that Jesus was preaching in this house, which was packed with people, is that kingdom is drawing near to you. It's right here in your midst. And as he is explaining this to the people, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He does the first of those signs mentioned in the prophets. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Is that any problem of anyone here this evening? You want to hear the word of the Lord, your sins are forgiven. Now, there were religious experts there in the crowd. How did they respond? Verse 6 and 7. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That wasn't the only time that Jesus forgave sins. Speaking to a sinful woman who had come into a room where he was with another religious leader, Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests in the room began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" So Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That's Luke 7:48 onwards. It's true, of course, the religious leaders were right. Only God can forgive sins. I can't forgive you the sins you've committed against somebody else, and you can't forgive me the wrong I've done to somebody else. Only the person you have wronged can forgive you, and God as well. You can't forgive the wrong I've done to another. So when Jesus forgives sins, he's bringing the very presence of God to the person, to the people. It is God himself who is there in the humanity of Jesus, pronouncing forgiveness. And here in front of the paralyzed man, Jesus knows their thoughts. Immediately, we read in verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" He challenges them about their thoughts. Will he ever challenge us about the thoughts we have had? Maybe we haven't done many wicked things, but all of us need forgiveness for the thoughts that we have had, at least, surely. And here's Jesus seeing right in to the thoughts of those who were criticizing him in their minds. But how can he verify that he really does have power to forgive sins? It's one thing to say, I forgive you, or you are forgiven. But how can that be verified? Because you can't see forgiveness. Well, he verifies the first sign of forgiveness, which you can't see, by doing the second sign, healing, which you can see. And the healing confirmed the forgiveness. So Jesus says to them, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. So the healing which Jesus did confirmed the forgiveness which he had given. Not for the sake of the paralyzed man, he already believed, but for the sake of the doubters. And so Jesus says that he has authority to forgive sins. Why does he have that authority? He has that authority for two reasons, which we detect in this story. First of all, the one I've already mentioned, he sees into our hearts. You and I can't really judge and forgive other people because we don't really know what's going on in their mind and their heart. Someone may do something of which we disapprove, but we don't really know why they did that. We don't know the troubles and the tensions and the anxieties and the pressures that they're under that made them do that which we didn't like. So we have to suspend judgment. We can't judge them. And we can't forgive them. We can forgive them if they've wronged us. But we can't really judge them or really see what it's like. But the Lord sees right into everyone's hearts. He knows all the pressures. He sees the inner motivations. And so he can say, your sins are forgiven. But another greater reason revealed in this passage is this word which he uses to describe himself. He says, he is the Son of Man. Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man. And often when he used that term, he used it to refer to his sufferings. For example, here's a few texts from Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, 9, 10, also another one in 10. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. We're going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus has the authority to forgive us because he suffered and died in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve and died in our place. Therefore, he forgives us our sins with authority. And where does he forgive us? The Son of Man has authority on earth, he says, to forgive sins. He forgives us on earth. He doesn't forgive us on the day of judgment after we die. That's too late then. He forgives us on earth. where we are right now. We're on earth. We mustn't wait for that day and say, well, I hope that on that day Jesus will forgive me. No. Now is the day of forgiveness. Here, while we're alive on this earth, he has authority to take away all your sins and all my sins. And he is present with us now to bring that forgiveness to anyone here who looks to him and says, Lord, help me. I need you. I was expounding this text in the African language which I speak, Chichewa, in Malawi many years ago. This very text, though I was not speaking English. And at the end of the service, the African evangelist with whom I worked said to me, wasn't it wonderful how everybody vanished in the church and Jesus appeared there? Actually, I didn't see Jesus myself, but he had seen him so clearly he assumed everyone had seen him. Sometimes I thought it would be, I wish I had seen Jesus at that time. But then I remember the words of Jesus himself. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we look to you. In your grace and mercy, come to us and save us from all our sin. For Jesus' sake, Amen.